It's at 93.7 Hartford's number one for hip hop and R&B. This is the beat of CT. I'm Jenny Boom Boom, your host, and DJ Meechie is here as well.
What's
Hi, Meech.
Up? What's up? How you doing?
Great. And today we're talking to Joe Navarra, who is from Manchester Community College's Office of Disability Services, and Gary Seska, who's a school social worker at Manchester Public Schools. I guess there's never a dull moment over there, Gary. Am I right?
It keeps me young.
Yeah. And I know you're here to talk today about the Community Network of Care in Manchester. You're actually working along with the Community Health Resources and other partners to help prevent suicide among young adults in the Manchester area and beyond.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So our first question today is, what is the Community Network of Care? Joe, do you want to step in and answer that?
Sure. So several years ago, folks became aware that the town of Manchester, while had a lot of services, was service rich, had high rates of youth suicide. Folks in the state recognized that and worked on getting a grant for different constituencies in Manchester to work together better, to work well better sort of within the constituency and then across constituencies. So in Manchester, it's Manchester Public Schools, Manchester Police Department, Manchester Community College, and the hospital, ECHN, the hospital. And so for the past 3 years, the groups have been collaborating to support each other and to communicate better with supporting young people in the town and trying to get the suicide rates down and trying to make sure that we have open line of communication amongst the partners. So we've been doing that. Let's see, this is it started in 2017. So we're kind of at the end of the grant. Each of the constituents as part of the network of care have been working on plans internally. And then we've also been working externally to kind of just be able to communicate better about what needs are and where people are in the pipeline.
Now, Gary, why is it so important to focus on young adults and suicide risk?
Well, I think like a lot of things that we try to help improve people upon, early intervention is always the best policy. Mm-hmm. So young people are at a point in their lives where they're really learning about themselves. They're learning about their emotions. They don't really fully understand what's going on for themselves. And a lot of recent research has talked a lot about the developing brain. And used to be you're 18, you're an adult, go do your thing. Now, research in science would indicate that at about age 25 is when the brain is fully developed. Mm. So we're really trying to help young people to make sense of the feelings that they might be having, to make sense of the world around them, which is only become increasingly more complicated. And by giving them the language to understand their own emotions, to understand what might be going on for other people and how to intervene. We're not just helping them in the present day, we're trying to help them across the lifespan.
So where were we like missing, you know, or not getting the communication across to young adults?
That's an interesting question, because I feel like concurrent with the increase in the suicide statistics, there's also been, I think, and Joe, you please jump in, there's been an increase in interventions and education as well. So for me, what that says is that there are other complicating factors at play. I can give you a couple of pieces that I think are important. Can I do that?
Absolutely, please.
So if you look at, for example, anxiety, in children and adolescents, about 30% of that age range experience anxiety. Only about 80% of that group of people never get treatment. They never receive intervention. So they move through their early years and into their adult lives without really addressing the anxiety. And then when you add in, for example, depression with anxiety, and sometimes people can become depressed when they don't know what to do with their emotions. They don't know how to handle what's going on around them, then that's where you're going to get an increase in the potential for suicidal behavior. I just have to go back to it's a complicated world. And for young people with technology, social media, the expectations of the world around them. It's a lot to digest.
You know, thinking about what Gary's saying about, you know, this, how long emerging adulthood is going on now. It's a really challenging time to be a young person, you know, separate from everything with the virus, you know, with, you know, the internet, the social media changes everything. In some ways, this young people are, you know, they're doing better than previous generations. I think they're much more accepting and open and supportive of the idea of mental health. The flip side of that is that everyone is looking for assistance. But oftentimes, and as Gary said, and certainly in the college world, numbers are skyrocketing, people seeking out assistance. We're, you know, seeing huge increases, you know, locally and nationwide in young people seeking out assistance because they're anxious, overwhelmed, depressed. You know, it's a particularly difficult time over the past, I think a lot of this stems from the economic downturn in the late, you know, 2000s and the late aughts. And I think since then, you know, I think more folks have been struggling. You know, this is a time of lots of political strife. And I think that adds to the level of unease that folks feel. And now you put the virus on top of that.
I agree. And also what you touched upon is so important, because you said like young people really don't have too much of a problem, you know, seeking help, which is great, because I know my mother and father never talked about any sort of mental health issues or anxiety.
Yeah. You know, I think we've raised a generation of people coming up who are more in touch with their emotions and don't see, you know, I think we've done a good job at addressing the stigma around mental health. The flip side of that is that a lot more people are seeking out assistance. And so while that's good on the one hand, that people are identifying themselves as needing assistance, on the other side, you know, people who are out there trying to provide support are inundated with a number of folks who actually need help.
Go ahead, Michi, I know you had a question.
Yeah, so I'm looking at some statistics here. It says suicide is now the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. Are there any other facts about suicide that you guys would like to explain?
Well, I mean, in the population that Joe and I work with, it's the leading cause of death in people of our age group, age 15 to, I believe, 29. Mm. So although the raw numbers are not there, I think the impact when a young person commits suicide is devastating. There's a ripple effect that hits the community in a way that is difficult to describe. And we've experienced it in our community more than once. I get an emotional feeling just even sharing that. So the impacts are far reaching. So I think I'm going to go back to the statistic around anxiety. And then when you pair that with depression, although there may be more young people attuned to their feelings or understanding that maybe there's something going on, I think the way that young people are coping is more complicated today as well. And another major risk factor for suicidal behavior is substance involvement or substance abuse. So I think a lot of people I don't have numbers on this one, DJ Michi, but the numbers of people that are self-medicating are pretty high. You know, they're trying to cope in ways that maybe aren't the best or most functional ways to work through whatever's going on.
Right.
And that's adding to the numbers of people in serious distress.
Yeah. And I mean, I know young people that are literally getting high every day to try to cope with their anxiety and stress. So, I mean, what do you think about that, Joe?
You know, it's not a great way to cope. You know, it impacts your judgment. Folks who might have, you know, the wherewithal to say, you know what, I'm not going that far, I'm not going to do something, they might take an action when they're under the influence that they can't take back. And so the, you know, substance abuse complicates things, it impacts judgment. And so people are more vulnerable. And then if there happens to be a firearm in the house, that, you know, that the, then the risk goes way up. You know, there's this real strong connection between suicide and firearms. Nearly two thirds of firearm deaths are suicides.
It's just very shocking, though, when you hear of a young person taking their life.
Right.
I mean, it's shocking anyway. But when you find out someone young ended their life, I mean, I'm sure that you have both talked to folks that were there at that point. And what is the deciding factor in that?
You know, one of the things to keep in mind about suicide is that, I think there's a misconceptions about suicide, that this is planned out, drawn out. Oftentimes people are suffering. Clearly people are suffering. But from the decision to the action is usually just a couple of minutes.
Really?
And wow. So I think that's an important concept to get out there, that really, this idea of committed suicide, we would say committed suicide. I've been working as a clinical person for years, and we've always used committed suicide. But if you think about the word committed, behind it sounds like someone carefully thought about this and planned this out, and, sound mind and body. And suicide is the complete opposite. It's really an impulsive act. You know, people almost immediately regret taking that action after they do something, if they do something that, risks their life. So it's an impulsive act. Out of many instances, people are depressed and overwhelmed, so they're not really of sound mind and body when they're deciding to do something. So, I think if we know the facts about suicide, people will be more likely to act. You know, I think folks are worried about bringing up the conversation, talking about it, because they're afraid they might set someone off or get someone upset. But the safest way to be is to open up the conversation by talking with someone. You don't have to have the exact right words or be a clinician. Anyone could stop someone from suicide.
I love it. And Gary, how much is bullying a factor in the schools as far as kids with depression, anxiety?
I think that's the word bullying is not one of my favorite words.
Okay.
Because I feel like if you go by the definition, there might not be as much bullying as there is meanness. Mm-hmm. Kids being mean, everything is instantaneous now. So you do something, or you're in the act of doing something foolish, and the next thing everybody in your life can see it on a video or on Snapchat, or it's being posted somewhere. So and a lot of times what I see is it's a mutuality. It's people going back and forth with one another. So generally speaking, the kids I'm at Manchester High School, and I work in several programs related to that age of students, are generally pretty kind and accepting. It's when they get in the trenches, when they're challenged or they have an opportunity to really go after somebody using a social media platform. Mm-hmm. Things are said in that way that you would never say to somebody if you were face to face with them. So that's what I see as really a key problem.
If we can all be just nicer to each other, suicide rates will go way down.
I agree. I do.
And going back to your question about statistics, statistically, the LGBTQ community is at a 3 to 4 time higher level of risk for suicidal behavior. And that is a group that is harassed, bullied, marginalized, whatever the word is that goes with it. So there are definitely groups of individuals that are perhaps more at risk for mistreatment.
So what do you tell these kids?
Well, I just get it. It's the number one leading cause of death for GLBT youth is suicide. And so we need to make a special effort to reach out to gay and lesbian youth. There's lots of ways that you can do that to show that you're GLBT friendly. And I think we just need to be much more careful, mindful that this group is so vulnerable. It's interesting, as adults, GLBT adults don't have higher rates of suicide than non-GLBT adults, but as kids, their rates are the highest. That's the number one way that they're dying. And something about being a young person, gay and lesbian young person, that we need to be especially mindful of. And
what I would say is, because you had asked, what do you say to people who are being mistreated, bullied, harassed? And you really need to let them know that you're with them, that you see their pain, and that you're not going to let it continue. If you can do anything about it, and you take it to people who can do it. And sometimes it's building administration. Sometimes it's parents. Sometimes it's a school resource officer. We like to try to bring the kids together, because a lot of times the most impactful thing that somebody who is saying a sort of thing to another person is to know that other person in a way that they don't. So if you can, bring them together safely and get that other person to hear the hurt that they've caused another person, that's the most powerful thing that can occur. Yeah, we can punish kids. Yeah, you can suspend kids or all those different things. But it's really helping people to see one another at the human level that's going to have the most lasting impact.
So what about parents, Gary? Do you have, you know, some sort of advice for parents, either, you know, whose kids are being bullied or possibly bullying someone?
I think it's really to try to be there for your child on both sides of that. Because when you dig a little bit on the person that is the bullier, they have a history of having been mistreated in some way in their life, or at one point having been bullied themselves, or there's things that have gone on in their lives that they haven't been able to really integrate and organize and understand about themselves that causes them to have a lot of emotion caught up inside. And the emotion that's most easily expressed is anger. So people let anger out on other people. You know, we're not good at looking at what lies underneath it, the hurt, the painful stuff. So it's the anger that comes out, and you try to work with that with the person that's being hurt, the kid that's doing the hurting, and the families. And that's when we refer to people like community health resources, when it goes beyond our ability to, you know, they need more than just supportive counseling and support.
And like you both touched upon, when I was growing up, if, you know, something was going on at school, it went on the next day. But now you get home and it's on the phone. It's everywhere you look. You know, you're so easily accessible that it can really affect these kids.
And that's what my next question. Everything kind of changing into more of a digital social media realm. And, you know, you got a lot of these kids kind of escaping and going to social media, maybe to feel accepted or to maybe start a new, you know, some of these kids start this new persona online to make themselves feel whole. How do you connect with those type of kids?
You know, that it's difficult because I'm just a little older than most of you folks.
No, Gary, no.
I didn't grow up with this. You know, we didn't have all this, you know? So for me, I'm used to connecting with people face to face in a direct kind of way. So that's my go-to when I try to work with people that are maybe a little bit too deep into their technology or a little bit too deep into this alternate person that they're trying to be.
Right.
And try to help them to understand that, you know, there's a world out there that has a lot to offer, that they as individuals have a lot to offer, and try to help them to see those things in themselves, because some of the things that people have experienced in their lives may make it difficult for them to see the good in themselves.
Right.
And I think that leads to an immersion in, you know, in an earlier time in our world, that was like, yeah, you went into a fantasy world. Now we go into a digital world.
Yeah. I want to tell you, speaking as a parent, my daughter will take a video or a picture and she'll put it up on Instagram or whatever. And she will come right to me like, can you like my picture? Did you like my caption? What do you think? Like, it's so important.
Yeah.
It's so important. And it's scary because it's like they all have something to prove all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't stop.
Right.
Right.
Never mind. You're seeing like all these people that are super skinny or super rich on all of these social media platforms. So these kids must be seeing that, like, and feeling, like you said, less of, you know, a person or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anything to add to that, Joe?
Yeah. You know, it's tough to be a young person. It really is. These, you know, they can't, you know, school would be 9 to 3. You go home, you get a break. And now, you know, the the trials and tribulations follow you when you go home. You can follow it 24/7, so there's no escape. So I could see why people are just so stressed and overwhelmed with all the negative messages that they're getting. And so I think this is partially responsible for this increase that we're all seeing with folks struggling. And so, you know, certainly connecting with people one-on-one, being able to look them in the eye, you know, in addition to the suicide lines, there's a text line and a chat line that folks can connect with if that's their preferred way of communicating. So I think that there are resources out there for young people who are struggling, that exist in sort of the realm of the internet. And it's just getting those people connected to additional help.
Yeah. So I was just about to ask you, how can our listeners access help?
So one of the things that I want to mention, especially for parents of children that might have mental health issues, is the National Alliance for Mental Illness. I volunteer with the NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness, made up of volunteers that really support families going through difficult times with their loved ones who are suffering from mental health issues. There's classes that they do. Everything's moved online now for them, so that if you want to participate in a class or a support group, certainly CHR, if you're in Greater Manchester, Community Health Resources is a great place to go. If you're concerned about someone, you can call their assessment center. Yeah. And it's staffed, and you'll talk to a clinician. If you're worried about someone, you can call that number. And if they need a higher level of care, CHR can respond.
Great.
Can I add a couple?
Of course. Sure.
There's national hotlines. I usually recommend those 211 info line. They have an emergency hotline 24/7, 365 days a year, where anybody that needs to speak with someone or is feeling that they may be thinking about hurting themselves, they can get access at any point. In a pinch, and we talk to kids about this in school, and we have a program in school called the Signs of Suicide program. It's a part of our health curriculum. And everything that I'm sharing with you now and everything that we're talking about is a part of that curriculum.
Really? So like in class, you guys talk about this?
Yes.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yes. And it's actually flowing from the grant that Joe had mentioned at the beginning of the show. We researched some curriculum materials and the Signs of Suicide program is the only program that demonstrates a reduction in suicidal behavior in young people. So that's why we're using it. And that's how we get the word out. That's how we let kids know that it's okay to talk about this stuff. That's how we let kids to know how important it is to be kind. The acronym that goes with it is ACT, A-C-T, Acknowledge, Care, Tell. And that's what we promote to kids. That's what we promote to parents. That's what we put the people in the community that are a part of that network that Joe described. We're all speaking that same language. So as a part of our conversations with kids, they're often alone. There isn't a trusted adult that they can talk to. So in those instances, you may need to leave the room and call 911, and have someone come. And also, it's a relatively new feature, is that you can text 911.
Yeah, and it's better for you to take action and do what you think is best and worry about them being mad at you later.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Rather than not do anything and regret it.
Right. If someone gets the help right when they most need it, they might never be suicidal again.
Wow.
Part of my training was that some research that was done that in areas where there are bridges that people might jump off of in an effort to commit suicide, when barriers, fencing, is placed on bridges, the rates of suicide in that geographic area goes down by all means.
Wow.
So not only just by jumping off the bridge, but also by hanging, shooting yourself, taking pills, whatever it is. And it's what Joe is talking about, is that a person going there now, they're in that window of, and I was trained that 20 minutes, there's a 20-minute window that you can change your mind in. And that's what's happening, because that barrier is there. And they're rethinking it, and they have an opportunity to maybe decide that they're not going to do that. So we can all be a barrier. That's the way I view it. You know, what Joe and I are doing, what you guys are doing right now with having this kind of conversation on your radio station. People look up, young people, love you guys. My son loves you guys. You're on our automatic punch radio stations and all that. I listen, but
thank you, Gary.
It's very meaningful that all of us can be a barrier by just being kind, by being there for people.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I learned so much today, Meechie,
yeah,
didn't you?
I did too. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Joe Navarra, and also Gary Seska from Community Network of Care in Manchester. We appreciate the great work that you are doing.
Thank you so much.
And please give me the website really quickly to look up just so everybody can get some more information today.
Community Health Resources would be the primary entry point.
Okay. So look up Community Health Resources in Manchester?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. CHRhealth.org.
CHRhealth.org. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.